Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. In the beginning of the civil rights movement, one of the issues that was addressed was the need for integration in schools that had been segregated. So, in the beginning of a school year, a white mother sent her little girl off to school. At the end of the day, the mom was a little anxious. The little girl came home and she said to her daughter, "How did it go? What happened?" And the little girl said, "Well, a little black girl sat next to me, and we held hands all day long because we were scared." They held hands together all day long because they were scared. With what's happened recently, I would like to hold hands with someone. To hear that a passenger jet was shot down and almost 300 lives were lost is sickening. To realize that there are people in this world that have such a disregard for human life. And closer to home in Stockton last week, there was a robbery in a bank. Three men went in, but before them, three women had gone in. One of them, right before she left to go in, said to her 12-year-old daughter sitting in the car, "I'll be right back, honey." She goes in the bank. The bank robbery takes place, and the two bank robbers grab the three women, and they become their hostages, and then the police chase happens, and they're off. And during the course of this police chase, two of the women were thrown out of the car, and the last one, the mother of the 12-year-old, was used as a human shield, and she died. That is sickening, that those men had such disregard for human life. And so what happens in this gospel today is Jesus saying to us that there is evil that planted amongst us in our world are evil people, evil intentions, evil causes. I don't know really how to talk about evil. We call the devil, we give that name to a source of evil. We call him the devil. Or we say there is a force of evil going on in this situation. And in this gospel, we see that good seed was planted, but during the night, evil happened and weeds were planted. And in the Greek, that word for weeds is darnel. And those particular plants, when they're first starting out, look just like wheat. And the owner of the vineyard said, don't pull them up. We're going to wait till the harvest. That's when they'll really look different. And we'll take the weeds out, burn them, and then we have the harvest of the wheat. And so we hear in this gospel, while this weed and wheat are growing together, that Jesus says, let them grow together. And at the end, you will see God is the judge of us all. Let God be the judge. In the meantime, if you have ears, listen. So Jesus is talking about a certain kind of listening within us. But within us, we also have hearts that are divided. As we heard last week in the reading from Romans, Paul, who had a profound encounter with Jesus, says, "I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Haven't we all been in situations where, why did I do that? That's not me. Why did I say that? I didn't mean it. But it happens, and we're not perfect. And members of AA and Al-Anon know that. And their first step is, we are powerless over alcohol and our lives become unmanageable. I think all of us have issues where we almost feel powerless. So we can replace the word alcohol with our own word. And the fourth step of AA and Al-Anon is to do a fearless moral inventory. In other words, to look within ourselves and in our past for the weeds amongst the wheat and deal with it. So how do we deal with the issue of a divided heart or the suffering that happens because of evil decisions, evil acts, and the killing and death of innocent people? As Jesus said in this gospel, what we're experiencing now is what they were dealing with then. That's why we have this parable. In the early church, false doctrine began to grow up among the good doctrine. And we call the false doctrine heresies. And eventually, they had to be weeded out. What's growing up inside of us that we need a moral inventory to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm a little off course. Help me, God, to refocus. So a way is to say, what are my values? What do I live by? How do I make my decisions? How do I do this? And so you might value integrity or honesty or tolerance. And so that becomes a way to make decisions. And yet, as Paul said, sometimes I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And so we have our values, yet we lose our temper or say something we never meant to say to someone that we love or care about, and we recognize we've hurt them, and we do the things we don't want to do. So within us, we have weeds and wheat. In our parish, in our city, where we work, in our world. Sometimes where we work, we want things to look better than they are, so we can fudge the books, maybe. I taught in high school years ago, and we had a section in our class on values. And so I bring this up and ask them how they live out their values and give me an example where they think they might have had a moment that was probably the wrong thing to do. So one of the students raises their hand and says, well, I work in a yogurt store and I have friends come in and I just give them extra because, you know, the owner has all this product. I mean, they're not going to really notice the yogurt missing. And so we had a really good discussion. That yogurt is not theirs to give. And so that student began to recognize, if I start doing little things the wrong way now, there could be the potential to do bigger choices that are really wrong later. So being aware of our divided hearts, where we need to look within, is a process. It's a process that will be forever. And it happens not just within ourselves and in society, but in nature, the process. Something dies off so something new can be born. And in the process of looking within, we need to check out where we've made choices. God is so patient with all of us. And some of our choices sometimes, and our words and our actions just slip out. Years ago when I was getting ready, one of the requirements for ordination is 300 hours of supervised chaplaincy in a hospital. So you have a supervisor and you're in a group. I was in a group of six. We met twice weekly. We met with our supervisor twice weekly. And every week we also had verbatims where we shared out loud the experience of someone that we had dealt with in a room, somebody who was not well. And then we would discuss and see what we could have done better. And in one of those afternoons, one of the other members of this group, and I was the only Episcopalian, we had a couple of Presbyterians, we had a couple of Baptists, a non-denominational person, and then the person who was non-denominational just began to take off with a very, for me, narrow viewpoint of Christianity. These are the persons that are saved. That's it. And that is not how I believe. My vision of God is huge, and God is bigger than that. God is bigger than our ideas of religion and justice and who is in heaven. God is not going to ask us, what brand are you when we get to heaven? I don't think. God's going to ask how we loved. So in this group, this person is almost becoming narrower in their viewpoint. And I felt myself become very intolerant in that moment. And so I launched. And so the supervisor and the other four watched, the two of us, have a very heated and charged debate, a very unchristian debate about Christianity. And the next morning, my supervisor said to me, so tell me about how you think last afternoon went. And I said, I was very intolerant, wasn't I? And he said, yes. How do you check your feelings? How do you work with your feelings? They're neither right or wrong, but what we do with our feelings can have major consequences. And so how do we work with these feelings in a divided heart? And one way is to become aware. First of all, experience, I am having this feeling. Then pray. Okay, God, take my anger, my fear, my resentment, my intolerance, whatever is going on that got triggered in that feeling. Aware, let it go, and then refocus. This takes effort. But the second reading is all about that effort. That effort is empowered by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we are adopted into that effort. We have the capacity to make the right choices, to be in the mission and ministry of Jesus. And our patient God is with us all the way. So I witnessed a little bit of the patience of God yesterday morning, when I was a part of the group that went with the youth group down to St. Luke's in Long Beach for the ministry to feed the homeless breakfast. There are 9 youths and a couple of adults and the regular amazing adults that are always faithful in this ministry. And so our youth were involved in serving the homeless. I was outside at one point and helping somebody get coffee, and walking past was a homeless man, and I have never smelt someone that bad in my life. And the homeless people around him were fanning themselves. They couldn't handle him. And one of the homeless people said, Henry, you are disrespecting. You are really disrespecting us and you. And I was really amazed, because I saw in that moment Yes, we're meant to be tolerant, but we're also meant to have actions and words to help move us into a better life. And there was a moment of intolerance on this homeless man's part as he says to Henry, "You are disrespecting." So here we are on this Sunday morning, and it's time to be recharged to go out there. Recharged to go inside to see where we have the weeds and the wheat. To make new choices. To look in our families, in our work situation, in our community. Where have we been tolerant? Where have we been intolerant? Where are we being called to grow in awareness? Where are we meant to make new choices? And believe in the power and energy of prayer. That when you pray, it's not static. God is moving. So let us all pray for what's going on in the world, in our community, in our family, and in ourselves. I've often heard in the course of my life this phrase from Native American spirituality, "Great Spirit, help me never judge another until I have walked a mile in their moccasins." But I would like to propose, if we really, to walk a mile is really not that big a deal. I mean, I think it's up to Malaga Cove Market. We can make it. But suppose we try to walk 2 months in the life of another person. Then we would begin to get what really is going on and be maybe more tolerant or more aware of our own issues. So may we believe that we are a people of hope, that God is working and is patient with this earth. God knows what happened in the air last week. God knows that mother lost her life. And God encourages us to hold each other's hands and keep going forward together in His power. Amen.